Chapter 7. Irwin. Most of that night, Irwin spends restlessly pacing from one side of his office to the other. It is exactly 7 steps. Then turn. 7 steps. Turn. He is trying to force his mind to process exactly what he's been told in the past couple of hours, but somehow he just can't bring himself to make sense of it.
Would you quit that? You're making me dizzy.
Levi complains from the sofa in the corner of the room. Hanji sits next to him, scrawling furiously on sheets of paper that she produces from who knows where, only to thoughtlessly toss to one side once she has covered it with her scribblings. Levi's eye twitches a little every time she does, but he wisely keeps quiet about it. Sometimes a piece of paper will wind up in his lap, and he will fold it and place it next to her with a look of distaste. Yet he still says nothing. At times like this, it is best not to interrupt her. Already, she has amassed a small, nest-like pile of discarded notes and observations, theories and questions to be answered at a later date. Irwin pauses in the middle of the room and turns to face them both. Were they telling the truth, do you think?
Yes,
Levi says, and yawns. He does not look to be inclined to say anything more on the subject. His brow is furrowed slightly as he leans back and rests his head on the back of the sofa to stare at the ceiling. Hanji, despite being distracted by her note-making, pauses very briefly to look up and nod feverishly at him, or at least in his general direction, since her eyes never quite manage to focus on him. "Everything they've told us matches up, and it fills in quite a few blanks at that," she says, already turning her attention back to her notes. "It makes me wonder why no one ever noticed anything amiss before, or if they did, why they never reported anything." Irwin rubs his brow, trying to smooth away the tension headache that he can feel building behind his eyes. "There could be all sorts of reasons for that, assuming that someone did notice. All of the reports said that Jaeger could climb the walls with relative ease. There's a good chance that he spent a lot of time outside the walls over the past 100 years, killing Titans. It would, at least, explain why the only reported sightings of him we have are fairly recent." Hanji only hums, and Levi doesn't bother responding at all, fingers tapping out an idle beat against his leg. They continue this pattern for another few hours, with Irwin pacing back and forth and asking the odd question or two, Levi complaining about it lazily but otherwise keeping quiet, and Hanji somehow accumulating more and more paper around her. It isn't until the dawn light starts creeping through the window, tinting the walls faint pink, that Irwin realizes they've been up all night and still haven't gotten anywhere. At least, he and Levi haven't. He has no idea what Hanji's been churning out. He takes a deep breath. "It's probably best that you both try to get some rest for now, before the rest of the Legion starts waking up," he says gently. "I'm sure that your squad can manage without you for a few hours." Levi nods shortly, standing and sweeping from the room, a thoughtful look on his face. For a moment, it looks like Hanji hasn't even heard him, but she eventually glances up at him from over the tops of her glasses. When she sees that he is serious, she exhales noisily, running a hand through her hair and standing. She takes a moment to look around herself in dismay. Irwin thinks that she probably wasn't aware of just how much she had written up until that very moment. "Right. Rest. Right," she says quickly, trying to gather the untidy stacks of paper into her arms without dropping any on the floor and failing miserably.
"I'll get back to my room then."
She bobs her head at him and all but flees the room. He sighs and finally collapses onto the sofa that has now been vacated, shutting his eyes and allowing his muscles to go lax. It has been a very long time since something managed to get him this tense. After all, he can't even draw on his previous experiences in a situation like this. He is adrift among completely uncharted waters, with only an oar, a sail full of holes, and a boat that has just started leaking. Or something to that effect, at least. He doesn't realize he has fallen asleep until the sound of urgent knocking at his door almost sends him tumbling from the sofa as he awakes with a jolt. The knock sounds again, and he stands, smoothing down his uniform, running a hand over his face as he drags himself back to full consciousness. Rather than call out to the person on the other side of the door, he moves to open it himself, standing back in surprise when he sees Petra's face, usually so cheerful, drawn downwards into serious lines. He braces himself. "You're needed in the courtyard, Commander," she says quickly, head tilted back to meet his eyes. The lookouts reported seeing a small group of horses heading this way, flying the banners of the military police and stationary guards, sir. We don't know anything further about the situation. Erwin swears softly, hurrying from the room with Petra close at his heels. Has the captain been informed? And Hanji? He asks her, dodging out of the way of one of the new recruits. Braun, he thinks, when it looks like the boy hasn't noticed his presence. One of the members of Hanji's squad has been sent to inform her, Petra replies without missing a beat, somehow managing to keep pace with him without breaking into a jog, despite the marked difference in their heights. We sent Oro to wake Captain Levi. He can't help it. That is almost enough to make him pause. Oro? He asks incredulously. Are you sure that's wise, given how the captain can be when he first wakes up? Probably not, she giggles, tone implying that it doesn't really matter much to her. But the captain will be in a bad mood no matter who wakes him. And besides, we drew straws. Erwin shakes his head and strides on, reflecting that this is the second time in as many days that he's had to hurry to the courtyard to possibly avert an emergency. Certainly he's used to unexpected turns of events whilst out in the field, but he never expected anything like this when at HQ. Hanji is already out in the courtyard by the time he arrives, her clothes a rumpled mess, strands of her hair sticking out every which way. Her eyes glint dangerously, and a wicked smile curls her mouth when she sees Erwin. If they think for even a second that I'll let them put their filthy paws all over my Jaeger, they have another thing coming, she hisses as soon as he's close enough. And he can tell at a glance that any sleep she did manage to get was light and restless. He's never seen this level of mania in her before, and it frankly scares him a little. Moblet stands at her side, trying to convince her to calm down, but it's as if she doesn't even notice that he's there. Maybe she doesn't. From his place at the center of the courtyard, Jaeger watches them with detached curiosity. Ackerman and Arlert stand by him, talking to one another frantically. It looks as though they're aware of the news, and neither of them seem happy about it. Not that Erwin can blame them. Their admissions yesterday were supposed to prevent this exact situation. Every so often, Jaeger will glance down at them, whenever one of them raises their voice or makes a particularly emphatic remark, as far as he can tell, and curls a little smaller, hunching down over them. The gates are open and ready for their guests, and everyone standing outside is remarkably tense. There's no sign of Levi, but Erwin grits his teeth and reminds himself that he no longer has to keep constant watch on the man. He's perfectly capable of taking care of himself. The horses clatter through eventually, and Erwin bites down on his tongue to prevent his shocked gasp. All around the courtyard, shocked whispers start flying when people clustered around recognize two of the figures. He has no idea what has warranted a visit from the commanders of both the military police and the stationary guard, but whatever it is, the very thought fills him with dread. Commander Doc, Commander Pixis, he calls, at least thinking that he can make a show of being welcoming. Commander Smith, Pixis returns immediately, dismounting and stretching his legs. Ah, it's been a while since I've had to spend so long in the saddle. I'd almost forgotten how it felt to have feet after the third hour. He pauses, glances at Jaeger, smiles a little, hums, and nods to himself, as though a suspicion has been confirmed. Looks like your men did a fine job there, Erwin. Is it securely bound? Doc asks waspishly, also dismounting and glaring a touch nervously up at Jaeger, who draws back a little with an expression that is about as offended and disdainful as his features can manage. Erwin doubts that it is anything more than the Titan's reaction to Doc's tone of voice, but it is enough to make Pixis burst into hearty gales of laughter. A few nervous chuckles emanate from the onlookers. Doc looks about ready to attempt to throttle Jaeger with his bare hands, no matter how useless the endeavor may be. And Erwin feels that he should step in before anyone can make the situation worse, even if it does mean telling a bit of a white lie. He is securely tied, yes, Erwin says levelly. He tries to ignore the fact that behind him, Hanji is trying to drill holes in Doc's forehead using only the power of her mind. Would you prefer to move this inside, or... No, no, out here is perfectly fine, Pixis says airily, settling himself on the stone steps. The onlookers try not to stare too noticeably at him, a venture doomed to failure even before it began. Doc throws one last disgusted look at Jaeger before following suit. Erwin can do nothing but join them on the stone steps. He tries not to flinch when Pixis whistles, a horrifically piercing sound. Jaeger shifts restlessly, and Doc stiffens. But Pixis doesn't even seem to notice, waving a hand at the cluster of recent graduates. The boy that comes over is the short one with shorn hair, Connie Springer, if he remembers correctly. "Hey, kid, what's your name?" Pixis asks, his voice not unfriendly. "Connie Springer, sir," he says quickly, snapping to attention. He's drawn himself up to his full height, which, unfortunately, seems to be about equal to Levi's. Erwin looks away for a moment and spots the man in question storming over. There is no sign of Oro anywhere. Erwin can't be sure if that's a good thing or not. Hanji has been dragged away to a safe distance by Moblet. Ackerman and Arlert are nowhere to be seen, but he doubts that they'll have gone far. "Well then, Springer, I don't suppose you'd be willing to do a senior officer a favor and get some food? We've been riding non-stop since this morning," Pixis says. Springer nods jerkily and hurries off in the direction of the dining hall, grabbing Brouse as he goes. No doubt he'll need her if he's going to even think about taking food from the hall, even for the sake of a commander. Levi arrives seconds later, looking for all the world as though he had the best 8 hours of sleep of his life last night. He nods curtly to Pixis and Doc, who greet him with varying levels of warmth in their voices, before turning slightly so that he can keep an eye on the entirety of the courtyard whilst still being an active participant in their interactions. From one of his uniform's inner pockets, Pixis withdraws a small wineskin, uncaps it, and takes a few gulps. He doesn't offer it around. "Well then, I suppose we'd best get started, hadn't we?" The first thing that Pixis does is request a complete report on the capture of the Titan, which Erwin allows Levi to give, as he was present and can give a far more detailed account of events. Levi looks like he's being forced to eat an entire lemon, but he complies nonetheless. This is the second time that Erwin has heard his account, so he allows himself to tune out just a little, watching the squad that have been officially ordered to watch Jaeger today sit in his shadow and play cards. Jaeger looks content enough to just watch them play. He occasionally gives the strange, short huffs of steam that Erwin is coming to understand is his way of laughing. Levi's report is succinct, and as a result, he finishes a few minutes before Springer and Brouse return with a couple of trays laden down with coffee and sandwiches. Pixis takes one, and Erwin the other, mouth curling into an amused smile when the two new recruits salute the second that their hands are free. Pixis laughs almost fondly at the way Springer draws himself up in a bid to look taller. "Don't worry about that," he says, eyes gleaming. "I was even shorter at your age. Some people are just late bloomers." No one misses the way his gaze flicks to Levi, or the way Levi's scowl deepens further until it looks carved into his skin. Now then, he says, taking a bite of his sandwich and politely waiting to swallow before trying to talk again. I'm sure that you can see why we're here. Back in the court, you two made some big claims, so obviously we had to come and see the result of it for ourselves. Make sure that you had a handle on the situation. Those reports weren't exaggerating when they said he was non-aggressive to humans, were they? Erwin smiles behind his cup of coffee, pointedly not flinching when Levi suddenly reaches over his shoulder to grab at one of the other cups. So far, the closest he's come is when he's severely shocked, and even that wasn't focused on humans. Erwin agrees. As long as he's secured, he's more or less harmless. He can't bring himself to lie and claim that Jaeger is completely harmless to humans, because there is no knowing what could set him off again. Ackerman and Arlert seem confident in their assessment of him, but it is better that he is honest about the situation now. Doc snorts and mutters something about not looking very secure to him, but Erwin chooses to ignore that for a moment. It wouldn't do to be seen punching another officer of such high rank. Jaeger is unwittingly helping his own case, head bowed low to the ground, expression calm as he observes what seems to have devolved into a remarkably violent version of Snap. It's just a pity that he couldn't have been a beautiful female titan, Pixis says, nodding to himself. Erwin can't tell if he's joking or not, and going by the disgusted look on Levi's face, he doesn't care. Then the situation would have been ideal. Commander Pixis, I really don't think, Doc starts before Pixis cuts him off effortlessly. You know, in all the times I went outside the wall, I never saw anything like this. Oh, don't look so surprised, he says to Levi, who looks no such thing. I transferred away from the Scouting Legion pretty quickly, but even so, I always wondered how much we didn't know about Titans. It's part of the reason I refused to give the order to have him killed in Trost. I think there was still a part of me willing to sacrifice soldiers in hope that we could finally gain an ally greater than ourselves. And it worked, so it was our victory, I suppose. That it was, Erwin agrees. But that can't be the only reason you're here, surely. Anyone could have been sent in your place. Of course they could have. Pixis dismisses the statement. I wanted to come and see this for myself. I didn't get a good look at him during Trost, and I wanted to talk to your squad leader, the one in charge of experiments, to see what sort of things you're hoping to turn up. Of course, they couldn't just send me and my team out here, so Niall had to come with me. Doc bristles at the subtle and lighthearted mockery in Pixis's voice, but he says nothing, still keeping a wary eye on Jaeger. If you'd like to talk to Squad Leader Hanji, Erwin says cautiously, waving her over. She comes quickly enough, her face settled into heavy lines. I'm sure she'll be happy to share her work so far, and her plans for any future experiments. This last bit he says a bit louder than strictly necessary, to make sure she understands that she is not to start a row over whether or not they get to keep Jaeger. Hopefully her research and any results already gathered will speak for themselves. He's hoping that they don't choose to challenge their custody of Jaeger. He can name at least 3 people that he knows will fight to the last to keep him. Excellent, excellent. Perhaps you can introduce us while you're at it, he suggests to Hanji, inclining his head in Jaeger's direction. She seems to brighten at that, smiling at him and holding out a hand to shake. Barely waiting to make sure that they are following her, Hanji almost skips back to Jaeger's side. They leave the trays on the steps and hurry after her. Jaeger has curled down into himself again, keeping his head near the ground. Something caught in the overlong clumps of hair glints, and Erwin makes a note not to tell Levi about it. The man can only just stand the matted bird's nest of rat tails, as it is, without him knowing that there are things stuck in there as well. Erwin doesn't know how long it would take one man to brush out a Titan's tangled hair, and frankly, he has no desire to find out. Commander Pixis, Commander Doc, it would be my pleasure to present to you Subject Jaeger, she says, making the introduction seem far more grand than it truly is. Jaeger's eyes pass over them, fix on Erwin, as though seeking reassurance. Pixis, ignoring Doc's squawk of protest, steps right up to Jaeger, utterly fearless, and holds out a hand that Jaeger stares at uncomprehendingly. After a few seconds, Pixis sighs, but his lips quirk good-naturedly. He steps back and away with a small shrug. "It was a long shot," he admits, "but I would have liked to be the first person in recorded history to shake hands with the Titan." Hanji looks thrilled at the very idea of shaking hands with the Titan, and Erwin knows that he has to do something, say something, anything, to keep the conversation on track. "What was it precisely that you had to inspect, Commanders?" Doc draws himself up. "Our first priority was to assess how much of a danger the Titan poses to the Scouting Legion as a whole, and in particular those charged with guarding it."
"Minimal, I think we can all agree," Pixis cuts in.
Doc glares a little before settling back. "We were then to move on to seeing how much of a benefit to humanity any research conducted on it would be. But given its unusual characteristics, I should think that would be minimal. Studying this Titan isn't likely to provide us with any useful intelligence regarding the species as a whole. A better solution would undoubtedly be dissection. Learn what we can from the creature's physical makeup, and then utilize that for humanity's interests." Hanji's face is growing steadily redder by the second, and even Levi looks about ready to give Niall a solid kicking. But surprisingly, it is Pixis that speaks up.
"You weren't at Trost," he says, all signs of levity gone now from his voice. "So you didn't see what we saw. In that battle, Jaeger took down more Titans than most soldiers do in their lifetimes. He saved many of the soldiers that had been stranded on the ground that day with his presence alone, drawing the Titans to him. He sealed up the breach in the wall with absolutely no prompting, direction, or instruction. And yet you dare suggest that he would be better off, or more useful to us, dead? This Titan presents us with an utterly unique opportunity that most of us haven't dared wished for over the past 100 years. He could very well be our best chance at regaining what humanity has lost to the Titans. But you would have him put down and pulled apart and studied before being put down? Why not just open the gates and let the Titans do as they please? Either way, you'll be damning all of humanity."
Strong words indeed, but Erwin finds himself nodding along nonetheless. Glad that at least one of the other military branches is willing to concede to good sense. Hanji looks 3 seconds from either fainting where she stands or leaping into the commander's arms and declaring her undying love for him. Erwin doesn't know which would be worse, but he knows that he doesn't really want either scenario to come about. He doesn't know what to say, though. Doesn't know how to diffuse the rising tension. "Commander Smith!" Schultz comes running up to them, snapping a quick salute. "Cook says that she doesn't care how much you have or haven't eaten. You're all going to be hungry if you don't get to the dining room before the squad, sir." Erwin gets the feeling that Cook, it had been to everyone's great amusement that she had revealed her surname was, in fact, Cook, had said no such things, but he grasps eagerly at the distraction with both hands, a surge of gratitude heaving through him.
"Yes, of course. We'll be right there. Commander Doc, Commander Pixis, if you'd care to follow me."
Just a moment," Pixis replies, turning back to Jaeger, green eyes fixed on him, unblinking, and always shockingly intelligent. It's possible to forget that Jaeger isn't a regular Titan until you look into his eyes. Pixis smiles up at him, eyes creasing at the corners. He reaches into his inner pocket again and withdraws his wineskin, holding it out to Jaeger, who only looks at him, uncomprehending. Like before, after offering his hand, Pixis shrugs easily. He takes a few gulps from the wineskin and wipes his mouth on the back of his hand.
"I've repaid you in full," he says. "Any grudge that you're capable of holding, you can forget it now. I don't owe you anything anymore." He smiles.
It's nice to know that you exist, you piece of shit. He says,